How many of you have ever heard of Texas Port Ministry? Raise your hand. A few? Okay, great. Texas Port Ministry is in Freeport, Texas. And we exist, we say, to provide spiritual, social, and physical care to the local, regional, and global people of the Freeport Harbor community. And so Acts 1:8 says, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you'll be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the ends of the earth. And so we have seen that verse, and we see those people in our port. For about 40 miles from your church plant, this building, 45 miles, you have this many people from all over the world coming. Since 2008, we've had people from 80 different countries come to the port of Freeport. We have over 100,000 truckers coming in and out of the port every year. And, of course, we have thousands of port workers. And we are there to share the gospel of Jesus Christ with them. And so we exist to do just that. We have started in 1974 across the street in the East End, if you're familiar with Freeport. And now we have a building on Cherry Street, which is right across the street from the Port Freeport admin building or the administrative office. And so we tell people you can fulfill the Great Commission without a passport. If you become a ship visitor, you do have to get a TWIC card. A TWIC card is a transportation worker identification credential, and it gives you access to go to the port. But somebody once said the fastest way to the ends of the earth is through port ministry, because these seafarers are coming from all over the world, and obviously they will be going home. And we don't get a lot of time with them, but the time we get with them, we are able to give them some gifts that people like yourselves provide, like toothpaste, toothbrush. We give them Bibles in their language. We probably have Bibles. You talked about Bibles earlier. We have Bibles in about 40 different languages in our center. We have an internet base where every time a ship comes in, we input it into the system. And so we find out what their crew's made of. There might be a ship that's made of Russians, and on the same ship, Ukrainians. On the same ship, Filipinos. On the same ship, Indians. On the same ship, you name a country. And so it's amazing the opportunity that God has given us to love people in the name of Jesus. And we need help. We need your prayers. I know it's a 45-minute drive, but if any of you are ever interested in possibly joining us as a volunteer to visit the ships, we send them out just like Christ modeled two by two. And we have men and women, husbands and wives. We have them go and visit ships in the port. We have them go and visit truckers in the truck lots. And we also have them, we provide a meal for port workers in our center. And so there's so many opportunities to do that. And of course, like everything else, it takes money to do certain things. But God provides. And I'm not going to spend a lot of time on that because I believe I have a message that God wants me to share with you today. But on that table back there, your pastor's allowed us to going to keep that up for two weeks. But there's two sign-up sheets. One sign-up sheet is for our newsletter, where you can kind of see what's going on and what we do and what the possibilities are. The other one is just an interest sign-up. In other words, I'm interested in finding out more. I've talked to Pastor Burris, and I would love for many of you, some of you, to come down, and I would love to take you on a tour of the port, where I can take you into the port, let you see what's going on. I could take you around the port, let you see what's going on. All you need if you come is you need a valid ID. And if you're a teenager, you need your school ID. Okay, just your school ID is good enough to go into the port. But we would love for your church, and we're grateful that y'all are prayerfully considering how we can partner together to share the gospel. Another thing I want to share with you, the book of Proverbs. Proverbs 4:23 says, keep your heart with all vigilance, for everything you do flows from it. There's a guy by the name of John Flavel, a Puritan, that wrote a book called Keeping the Heart. I highly recommend that book if you've never heard of John Flavel. If you will, take your Bible and turn to Matthew 25 this morning with me. Because the truths that we're going to hear in Scripture, and Christ is going to say in this text of Scripture, we desire at Texas Port Ministry that these truths be in our DNA, But really, it's not just fitting for Texas Port Ministry. It's fitting for the Christian's life, right? It's fitting for the Christian's life. And while you're turning there, maybe you can multitask with me. Say John 3:16 with me. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him would not perish, but would have everlasting life. The gospel is about love. Amen? And we know Scripture tells us God is love. John Piper wrote a book that is also a great book called God is the Gospel. God is the Gospel. And we see that John 3:16 tells us, for God so loved the world. This world needs the gospel. Amen? This world needs the gospel. So in Matthew chapter 25, if you'll hold it there, look back at chapter 24, how it begins. This is the Olivet Discourse. I don't know. How many of you still have a red letter Bible? I'm kind of old school, and I like to see the words of Christ in red, okay? So this is the words of Christ. This is the Olivet Discourse. And it says, starting in verse 1, Jesus left the temple and was going away. And when his disciples came to point out to him the buildings of the temple, but he answered them, you see all these, do you not? Truly I say to you, there will not be left here one stone upon another that will not be thrown down. As he sat on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately saying, tell us, when will these things be, the signs of the end of the age? When will these things be, and what will be the sign of your coming and of the end of the age? And we know as part of the Olivet Discourse, he talks about the abomination that causes desolation. He talks about his coming. He talks about the lesson of the fig tree. And no one knows the day or hour but God, but we know that Jesus is coming. Amen? He's coming. He talks about the 10 virgins, about being ready. He talks about the parable of the talents. And it's interesting, he talks about the final judgment. And in this passage of Scripture, we see Christ teaching about the final judgment, and he compares the sheep and the goats. What's interesting about this, somebody called this a five-finger moment. Or the five-finger gospel. You did it to me. Jesus said that. Well, what did this person do? Or what did these people do? Well, that's what we're about to find out. Verse 21, or excuse me, 31. When the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the angels with him, then he will sit on his glorious throne, and before him will be gathered all the nations. And he will separate people one from another as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. And he will place the sheep on his right, but the goats on the left. Then the king will say to those on his right, come, you who are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. Listen to this. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger and you welcomed me. I was naked and you clothed me. I was sick and you visited me. I was in prison and you came to me. Then the righteous will answer him saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you or thirsty and give you drink? And when did we see you a stranger and welcome you or naked and clothe you? And when did we see you sick or in prison and visit you? And the king will answer them, truly, I say to you, as you did it to one of the least of these, my brothers, you did it to me. That is a profound teaching that I think we are missing in our discipleship. And brother, you said it on some of the things that you were talking about. It's not about me, it's about he. Amen? It's not about us, it's about him. We don't get the glory. Do we want it? He gets the glory because he is worthy. That's the sheep. But there's another group of people, the goats. Listen to this. Then he will say to those on his left, depart from me, you cursed, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me no food. I was thirsty, and you gave me no drink. I was a stranger, and you did not welcome me. I was naked, and you did not clothe me. I was sick and in prison, and you did not visit me. Then they will answer, saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or naked or sick or in prison and did not minister to you? Then he will answer them, saying, truly I say to you, as you did not do it to one of the least of these, you did not do it to me, and these will go away into eternal punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. This is a five-finger moment. And it's interesting that this moment occurs in Matthew 25. These words are heightened, I think, in their importance because they're placed within the passage about the final judgment. And consequently, the importance of doing is brought out with emphasis. As you did it to one of the least of these, you did it to me. You did it to me. In an article in Faith and Culture, the Journal of the Augustine Institute, a gentleman said, we will not, Scott Heffelfinger, he said, we will not be measured by vague intentions. Well, I should do this, or I should do that. We won't be measured by positive thoughts or sympathetic emotions. Oh, that's nice. We need to. No, we will be measured by our actions and the character that is formed by those actions and gives rise to them. Now, when I read that sounds good, but I don't think that's a complete and accurate comment. I don't think we're going to be measured by our actions. We're going to be measured in the person of Jesus Christ. Amen? Christ is our righteousness. Amen? We are blood bought. We're born again. We belong to the King. The reason that God accepts us is Christ is our righteousness. But out of a changed and converted life come fruit. Amen? And the Bible even teaches that by their fruit in this particular book, you will recognize them. And so embedded within not just Texas Port Ministry, but the theology of Christianity is this. Everything we do in the name of Jesus is for Jesus and through Jesus and because of Jesus. Amen? Now, let's break that down even further. In 2 Corinthians chapter 15, the Apostle Paul is talking about reconciliation, chapter 5, verses 14 and 15. And he says, for the love of Christ controls us, or compels us, some translations say. So I want to ask you, does the love of Christ control you? Brother Chris, does the love of Christ control you? Or does it compel you? Compelling is like the wind behind a sail. That wind is compelling that sail to push that ship. Or that sailboat. The power of God in our lives, the presence of the Holy Spirit in our lives, the person of Jesus Christ in us, for the love of Christ compels us, Paul says, and we've made a decision. And what's that decision? That one died for all. Therefore, all died. And all those who died to him no longer live for themselves, but they live for the one who died for them. Is that a description of our lives? That we no longer, by God's grace, live for ourselves. We live for the one who died for us. Now, y'all bear with me. I do not stand before you as a Catholic. But I'm going to talk about somebody that's known to be a Catholic. And her name is Mother Teresa. Now, I was reading a book one time, and it was a book about different people and, quote-unquote, the influences and the things that they did. And this particular interview that she did in this book, I'm just telling you, God used it to rock my world. She was asked why she would go to India or Calcutta and why she would kiss the lepers. Why did you do that? I don't know if anybody ever been around a leprous person in real life. Anybody ever seen leprosy or a leprous person on TV or in a movie? Y'all know what leprosy is? It's a skin disease. Well, literally, your skin is just falling off. And in biblical times, and in some parts of the world today, if you were a leper, they have leper colonies where all the leper people are they're put in a colony to, quote-unquote, protect all the normal people. And so in biblical times, if you were a leper, you were required to walk down the middle of the street and cry out, unclean, unclean. And that allowed all the other people to avoid you. And here's this woman just going up to these lepers, and she's bandaging them, and she's kissing them. And her answer to that question, why do you do that? Why do you go to Texas Port Ministry and volunteer? Why do you do what you do? And this is her answer. She said, I believe in person to person. And she said, every person is Christ for me. And since there's only one Jesus, that one person is the one person in the world at that moment. Can you imagine if we Christians adopted that reality in our lives, or even asked God to make that a reality in our lives, that we treated every human being as if they were Christ themselves? And then the good Baptist that I am, because again, you don't, I actually go to Grace Bible Church in Lake Jackson, Clute. So many people interpret the Bible based on their experience, and their experience is like this. And that's what you don't do, right? You interpret your experience based on what the Word of God says. Amen? The Word of God is a filter. So I'm thinking about this. Is there biblical scriptural support for what she's saying? So, Matthew 25. Because you see, what Jesus does here, he makes himself the person in prison. He makes himself the hungry person. He makes himself the thirsty person. He makes himself the person in jail. And Jesus himself says, when you do it to the least of these, you do it to me. So where I'm at, he makes himself the seafarer. When we go to the ships and we give them a gift, we're giving Jesus a gift. And God is sovereign, and God will take the conversation, and God will take the moment, and God will take it where it needs to go. And we have opportunities to share the gospel with seafarers. God will take the gift that we give to truck drivers. Let me share just a brief testimony about trucker ministry. We were going to the truck lot. And we're going to each truck, and nothing spectacular about this particular day. There were probably 11 trucks lined up in single file. We go to this particular truck. This trucker's from Nashville, Tennessee. He's waiting to get across the gate to go into gate 4 to get a load or to drop a load off. Basically, here's what we do. Hey, my name is Chris. This is Chuck. We're from Texas Port Ministry. You can see our building right over there. You can see our flagpole. It's a ministry to truck drivers like yourself. And we're here just to tell you that we exist. In our building, we have shower facilities. You know, long-haul drivers sometimes want to take a fresh shower. We have an internet cafe. If you need to get on the computer, we have a little kitchen. If you just want to come and rest, if you want to eat with us on Mondays when we provide a Monday meal, we want you to know we're here to help you. And usually, 95% of the time, they say, well, I didn't know about you guys. Thank you. And then we'll say, well, we got a gift to give you. Do you mind taking it? And inside that gift is a map, how to get there. It's a Gospel of John in English or Spanish. There's a crocheted cross that people like yourselves make. There's a toothbrush, there's a toothpaste, and there's a bottle of water. And there's a trucker track called The Greatest Delivery. So he said, is there any way I can pray for you? And he said, not really, but y'all can pray for me. So we prayed for him, and that was the exchange. That was all it was. That afternoon, the same day, I got a full-page email from his wife. Never met him before in my life. And she said, you're not going to believe what your ministry does for truckers. She said, 10 years ago, my husband and his father would meet every morning for coffee, and then they would go to work. That's just a tradition that the father and the son had. And one day, the father was late, and he was killed by a drunk driver. And it threw her husband for a loop, spiritually. He just, for 10 years, he's been struggling with his relationship with God. He's been struggling trying to get through that. She said, I prayed for him for 10 years. She said, he supports us going to church, but he won't go to church with us anymore. He thinks when he prays that the prayers hit the ceiling and they just bounce back, and he wonders if God speaks anymore. And you know what he did? He took the items that were in the bag and he said, God still speaks. That's God. That's God answering the prayers of a loving wife. That's God knowing that man's condition and that man's circumstances. And that's God in his sovereign pleasure choosing on that day to make the connection in the heart of that man to say, I see you. When you do it to the least of these, you do it to me. When we gave that bag to that trucker, we gave it to Jesus. Brother, there's bad people in the world. We got to be careful. I'm not saying, hey, listen, I'm not saying don't be careful and wise. What I'm telling you, let God straighten it all out. Amen? We want everybody to hear. Every soul matters. Every soul matters. And so she said, I see Jesus in every human being. She says, I say to myself, this is hungry Jesus, so I must feed him. This is sick Jesus. This one has leprosy or gangrene. I must wash him and attend to him. I serve because I love Jesus. And she said in that interview, it was Jesus who inspired her to serve. And out of the article that was in this book, The Irresistible Revolution, Living as an Ordinary Radical, the author, Shane, told Mother Teresa, I wouldn't do what you do for $1 million. And Mother Teresa smiled and said, me neither. But she would do it for Jesus. The miracle is not that we do the work. The miracle is that we are happy to do it. Something changes. And so I say to you, yes, I am here to represent Texas Port Ministry, but I am here as your brother in Christ, a fellow struggler, one beggar telling other beggars where to find bread, and together, as the family of God this side of heaven, we still have another day to tell other people about Jesus. We still have another moment. Texas Port Ministry is a wonderful opportunity for you to do that. But your life is a wonderful opportunity for you to do that, whether you come to Texas Port Ministry or not. People need Jesus. People need Jesus. Somebody said, I think it was Spurgeon, Charles Spurgeon said, we don't need to defend the gospel, just let it loose and it'll defend itself. Amen? In the power of the Holy Spirit. So I ask you, do you see Jesus in your fellow humanity? I'm not talking about from their behavior. I'm talking about from the truth that he teaches in his word, out of his own mouth. When you serve others, you are serving Jesus. When you give a cup of cold water to someone, you're giving it to Jesus. When you're helping someone, you're helping Jesus. I'm not saying it. Jesus himself is saying it. Amen. And isn't he God in the flesh? And isn't he our Lord? And isn't he our Savior? And so she said, it's not about what I do. It's about because Jesus loves me and I love him. She said, our vocation is the love of Jesus. Our vocation is the love of Jesus. The most important word is not did, what you do, but the most important word is me. Not me being you, me being Jesus. Amen? When you did not do it to the least of, when you did it to the least of these, excuse me, you did it to me. It's not about what you do, it's about him. Amen? And again, in this passage, Jesus makes himself the hungry one. He makes himself the naked one. He makes himself the homeless one. He makes himself the sick one. He makes himself the one in prison. He makes himself the lonely person. He makes himself the person that's unwanted. And he says, you did it to me. And again, folks, listen, this might sound strange, but the gospel is not about doing. It's about God. He's the first cause, the middle cause, and the end cause. It's about him. God is the gospel. We concentrate in America so much about identifying ourselves based on what we do. Well, I would suggest to you that we need to invert that. We identify ourselves by who we are and whose we are. And because who we are and whose we are, this is what we do. Amen? All for His glory. Doing is indicative of loving and being loved. Again, 1 John 4:19. What? We love, why? Because He first loved us. We can love because He first loved us. And we don't do things for something. We do things for someone and to someone. We do things for God, to God, for the glory of God. And guess what? It's only because of Him that we can even do it. Amen. In and of ourselves, we can't. But He is a merciful and a gracious God to allow and desire and to see His Holy Spirit living within us, to save us, to give us a new heart, to conform us into the image of His Son, and then allow Jesus Christ to live Himself out in His people. That's why you have a new name, Christian. Did you know that literally means little Christ? You are supposed to be Christ in this world. And that's what we believe seafarers need to see, truck drivers, port workers, people in Bay City, people in Brazoria County, people in Texas, people in the United States and all over the world. They need Jesus. They need to see Jesus in us. Texas Port Ministry is just one ministry in our area that you have the opportunity to come and link up with and join in many ways, and we're here simply to say, prayerfully consider how you would join us to fulfill the great commandment and the great commission. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You for today, and we thank You for this precious fellowship. We thank You for these sweet people. And God, we thank You for their love for You and Your love for them. And God, we pray, Father God, that as we continue our lives here this side of heaven, God, that we would do everything we can to bring glory to Your name. And Lord, understanding, God, that You make it possible that Your death, the death of Your Son, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ make it possible. And the power of the Holy Spirit that lives within each one of us makes it possible for us to say yes to Jesus. Jesus Himself said, if any man will come after Me, he must deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow Me. May we do that. And God, I pray that if there are any here that do not know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, that they talk to these elders, talk to their parents, and be brought to a saving faith in the person of Jesus Christ. We love You, Lord, and we thank You for loving us. In Jesus' name, amen.